I mean, I just think human nature, we've all at some point, you know, struggle with depression and anxiety. Oh, yeah. And so, you know, when we're taking a look at people who have, you know, tried for years, some decades to lose weight and have not been successful with it, who now feel as though, you know, they're a failure. When we can actually connect with people and give them their confidence back, like it's like a light bulb moment for them and you just see them glow.
So you have a passion for fitness and the desire to start your own business, but launching a massively successful fitness business is extremely complex. The systems, operations, hiring, firing, coaching, sales, and marketing are critical to success. Where do you even start? This show will give you the answers. Here is Bedros Koulian and Bryce Henson, your hosts of the Fitness Franchise Podcast, a show dedicated to helping fitness entrepreneurs launch and grow successful gyms.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Fitness Franchise Podcast. My name is Bryce Henson, and I'm your host. And boy, do we have another incredible episode today. As today's guest is a close friend of mine, a colleague who grew up near Toronto, Canada, playing sports, athletic in background, as he was always looking for an edge. And in the gym, he knew what he was supposed to do, but always wanted to know why. And this curiosity fueled his passion for understanding the human body. Now, a family member who had been working with a personal trainer then suggested he should probably consider that. So after high school, while playing junior hockey and chasing his dream of making that a career, he decided to become a certified personal trainer. And when he stopped playing hockey, he decided to dive into the industry full time. He then trained at a gym for a few years before realizing his dream of opening his own personal training facility. Now, this was back in 2009. And at that time, he primarily led one-on-one training at his facility, but then started on a whim to run a few boot camp sessions. Now, what happened next was inspiring, as his clients absolutely loved it, and he fell in love with it too, as the energy of the group training was unmatched. So he then decided to do some research about boot camps and came across a gentleman named Bedros Koulian, CEO and founder of Fit Body Bootcamp. And almost immediately, he knew that this was his next step. This was the way. So he decided to open his first Fit Body Bootcamp franchise in 2013. And fast forward since then, his team has opened 3 locations, helped more than 10,000 people improve their fitness while giving back to their local charities and their local communities. So I'm excited to introduce my good friend, my fellow multi-location gym owner and fellow fitness franchise coach, Mr. Tyler Savoy. Tyler, welcome to the Fitness Franchise Podcast, my friend.
Thank you so much, man. It's great to be here. I'm excited.
You got it, man. Well, I know that was a lot. Did I miss anything that should be noted on your intro?
No, you nailed it, man. You made me sound better than I probably am, so I appreciate it.
Oh, good. Well, a lot to talk about and a lot to cover today. And obviously, we want to kind of showcase you and your experience and your success as a fit body and a gym owner. Before we do, can you kind of walk us through your backstory? How did you get to where you are today? So curious, you know, on that backstory, Tyler.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you previously mentioned, I grew up playing sports, and it did truly fuel kind of the passion or the curiosity for, you know, I'd get these programs and, you know, it's like an Excel sheet of like, do this exercise, you know, 4 times with X number of reps, use this weight. And I never knew why. I would go to the gym and do it, and they'd be like, okay, like, am I getting better or not? I didn't know anything. And, given the fact I was probably, you know, 14 at the time. And so I just wanted to know why. I just always wanted to know the why behind the what. And, you know, as I guess I'd say I got kind of more involved or more serious about, my sport, which is hockey, it became more important to me to know the why. And then that's what fueled it, to get into really personal training in the first place. And so after hockey, like there was no other option. I fell in love with it. There was just no, like, I'm not going to university. I'm not going to college. Like, I'm just diving in 100%. There's nothing else I want to do. This is it. This is what I want to do for a career. And the rest is kind of history. you know, went from working in a gym to opening a private training facility. And, you know, a really big turning point in my life so far, was just coming across Bedros. And I think at the time it was through, I think his blog, PT Power. Mm-hmm. And that's where I came across him and started following him more. And 1 year he ran Fitness Business Summit virtually. And I connected kind of more there. And after that, I jumped on with FitBody. I loved the philosophy of FitBody, boot camps, and it was awesome. And so, you know, here we are years later with as you said, three locations and soon to be a fourth. We're looking to open a fourth location. So.
Good for you, man. And we'll get into that here in a second. But obviously, it's interesting that you've had a calling. Obviously, growing up in Canada, I feel like hockey is your religion out there and being an athletic guy. So I'm curious, before you kind of made the leap to your own facility, how long did you work in the gym space? And I'm just curious, like, what were the learning lessons there? How was that experience? What were the highlights and also probably the challenges as you were just trying to figure it out and make your way before you launched your own, you know, training studio?
Yeah. So, I worked in a really, really small gym. Even before, you know, when I was contemplating college or university, I wanted to go into marketing. So that was just, it was something that always interested me. And I would say even before high school, I knew I wanted to run my own business. So my parents had their own business. I always knew that I wanted to have my own business. So before I even went into the gym, I just knew that that was a dream of mine to do. And so, you know, working with people in the gym at that time, I was really able to kind of hone my own knowledge of the body, you know, test a lot of philosophies around nutrition. I mean, you know, as you know, Bryce, like every day, you know, there's something new, right? Whether it's keto, intermittent fasting, or, you know, all of the, you know, low carb, Atkins. So, you know, it was really interesting to just dive in and learn everything to, you know, stimulate growth, muscle growth, strength. I coach a lot of young athletes, and, you know, helping people lose weight as well. And so, you know, as I was doing that, at the same time, I was studying marketing. So I was trying to understand, you know, marketing or sales. How could I, you know, fill up my schedule of clients? And so there was just a point at which it was just kind of the next step was to start my own facility. It kind of along the way, that was always the plan, even before then. So it was just kind of honing skills over about a period of 4 or 5 years, before kind of taking that next jump to open our personal training facility in 2009.
Copy. Well, it's interesting because I feel like, you know, you touched upon marketing, and specifically we're going to talk about email marketing because I feel like you have a mind for it. Like, it's one of your zone of geniuses, just knowing you through the years and working closely with you. But you said something that's really interesting, and I feel, you know, many fitness pros, especially, you know, are coming that are coming from the athletic background, their dream is to actually train athletes, right? And now, you know, the clientele that you train and we both train at our gyms, not to say that we don't train any athletes, but we're not training high performance athletes. What we call our avatar is Mrs. Jones, who's middle aged, has a couple kids. You know, she probably doesn't love working out, but she knows she needs to. And she really comes in looking to lose weight, wants her husband to look at it better again, and, you know, just to kind of get some more confidence back. What for you, you know, what was the kind of turning point? Because you mentioned you did train athletes, from transitioning from athletes to kind of our current demographic that we train, you know, at our FitBody Bootcamp locations.
Yeah. So, you know, athletes are, I shouldn't say far and few between, but they are a smaller niche. And so, you know, when you are in the gym, the avatar, as you say, or the typical person who is coming through the gym doors is wanting to lose weight. And, you know, so you start working with people, and actually what I realized was that they're more dedicated than the young athlete, right? Like, when you're coaching young athletes, it's most likely because their parents are paying them, you know, the parents are footing the bill, right? It's not the athlete. And so, you know, that's great. But sometimes what happens is, you know, the parents actually want the success more for the child than the child actually wants the success.
Yep.
So I actually, I enjoy training, you know, our demographic way more. And, you know, it's funny to probably hear myself say that now, because back then I don't think I would ever say it. Right. But they're more dedicated. They want the outcome. They're more motivated sometimes, right? There's, you know, different people, and athletes are highly motivated, but you know, the difference in what we do now is the number of people that come through our doors, that suffer from, you know, depression and anxiety is huge. It's massive. And so, you know, we do a lot of surveying when people come in and what they struggle with. And I would say 40% actually list it, right? We've never met these people before and they actually list it, which means it's well over 50%. And I mean, I just think human nature, we've all at some point, you know, struggle with depression and anxiety. Oh, yeah. And so, you know, when we're taking a look at people who have, you know, tried for years, some decades to lose weight and have not been successful with it, who now feel as though, you know, they're a failure. When we can actually connect with people and give them their confidence back, like it's like a light bulb moment for them, and you just see them glow, like they just mm-hmm. turn on. And I don't think there's any, you know, more rewarding feeling in the world than that. And like, I don't even care what the scale says. Like, if I never helped you lose a pound, I don't care. But if I can help you with depression or anxiety and give you your life back, like I said, there's no better feeling in the world than that.
Well, amen to that. And it's interesting. I mean, you know, a lot of the gym industry markets to weight loss and fat loss, which obviously for good reason, you know, both our countries based in the US here and Canada, you know, are suffering an obesity epidemic. So it's a real thing. But for me specifically, I, you know, started training because of the physique. I wanted to learn, lose fat and build muscle, but I actually stay working out because of the mental clarity, the endorphins, and just the way I feel way more than actually the physique. So I'm with you. A million percent that feeling that you can actually transfer to a client and really change the life from that perspective is absolutely incredible.
Absolutely. And I would say I'm the same now. It's not my goals in the gym are pretty much stress and mental clarity, just the energy that it personally gives me.
Yeah, copy that. Well, good. Well, now I want to kind of transition into your, you know, career as a Fitbody Bootcamp owner, as a gym owner, launching your first, you know, location back in 2013. You've scaled to 3, which is an incredible feat. Now you're kind of knocking on the door of 4. You're also a franchise business coach, which we'll get to in a second. But just kind of walk us through that experience, what it was like to open, you know, your first location and then scale to your second, third. What were the biggest highlights, you know, that you really, you know, are proud of? And then also too, you know, let's face it, it's not all sunshines and rainbows, right? What were the biggest challenges and obstacles and learning lessons that you kind of went through the process?
Yeah, it's interesting. And I would say, the biggest thing that, I mean, there's so many, I was green, man. I will tell you, like, even having my own personal training facility for, you know, 4 years before diving into boot camps, man, I was still green. Like, how little did I know looking yeah. back? And so, you know, going through, you know, opening my location and growing that location, I learned a lot. And I would say, you know, from a Fitbody standpoint, I learned how to be a better leader. I learned to market better. I learned better programming. I learned better nutrition. And I can honestly say that I don't know if I would be where I am today had I not taken the jump with Fitbody. And the truth is, what probably was my biggest challenge right out of the gate was probably ego for myself. And really? the reason why is because I had a successful personal training facility. So it kind of had a bit of a, I already know how to do it, as opposed to probably coming more open as I should and as everybody should, and be willing to learn right out of the gate. And I would say it probably hindered me through probably my first 6 months for sure. Just not truly just running the systems. And like you said, how little did I know it at the time? And you know, I've had lots of people ask me, you know, what it's like to actually be a FitBody owner, or, you know, what to expect. And I actually, I always tell them, you know, the fitness industry aside, like, you're going to learn how to run the business. You're going to learn how to hire and fire nutrition and run challenges and give a great experience and results. And like, what it actually takes to operate a fitness facility, right? And I always say, you know, one of the best, most unexpected byproducts out of everything was just my own personal growth. And it's something where, you know, I probably wouldn't have been able to foresee this, you know, now 10, 15 years ago. But it's been a phenomenal learning and growing experience on so many levels, aside from actually just like the business and fitness side specifically.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like entrepreneurship and business ownership is like a self-development program, you know, encaptured into a career. So, you know, I think, you know, speaking for both of us, it's been quite a ride, and certainly will continue to be, you know, as we forge ahead, right?
Yeah.
What would you say maybe is a big learning lesson or mistake that you made kind of looking back? And I know you mentioned that maybe not coming in with a white belt mentality, but obviously there's a lot to running a gym, right? You have to be knowledgeable in programming. You have to be knowledgeable in nutrition. You have to be knowledgeable in human nature. You have to be knowledgeable in processes and systems and marketing, which we're going to talk about here in a second. You know, throughout this journey that you've been on for, you know, over a decade now, maybe a mistake or two that when you look back in hindsight, you're like, shoot, I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have made that move. But because of it, I've learned, I've grown, and myself, my team are better off for it.
I have a perfect example, because it will never leave me. It was a great learning experience. Okay. It was actually when we jumped from one location to two locations. And so the jump from one to two is humbling, to say the least, because, mm-hmm. Things are rolling along and you're there every day, your finger's on the pulse, you know, all of the time. And we had just opened our second location. We had an amazing, you know, grand opening challenge. We were kind of rocking and rolling. And the challenge had just ended. And, you know, we had converted quite a few members, and we weren't quite break even, but we were close, which is phenomenal after, you know, 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I had a key member leave our team to go into the finance industry. And so it kind of shattered everything instantly, because now, you know, this location's 30 minutes away, 35 minutes away. Okay. And so now we have a new team of coaches, and, you know, you're still trying to be sure that the experience that you're giving in your first location is absolutely, you know, spot on. Right. And you removed a key member, kind of from now two locations. And so all of a sudden you as the leader, like, everything comes back to you. You own it, right? There's nobody on a white horse coming to save you. And so, you know, now I was split between two locations, right? Going back and forth, coaching sessions, you know, trying to develop a team. And you're just spread so thin. Mm-hmm. And to make matters worse, because, you know, experience is the best teacher of all, and we learn from our mistakes and failures. I wasn't good at hiring. I hadn't had to do it enough, because in my first location, I was always there. So you always knew, you could always in the moment coach people or train them. And so now, you know, I hired out of desperation, and I actually see, it's a big mistake that I see, you know, many owners make in the fitness industry. And I've made it. And so, I hired out of actual, you know, desperation to try to, you know, fill the holes, because I was spread thin. And, you know, I'm sure everyone listening can, you know, probably imagine how well that turned out. And it probably took, you know, 6 to 12 months to actually straighten it out. And for me to fix those mistakes, and that kind of led to my aha, which is just really doing a lot of personal development, right? A lot of personal development, as a person, as a leader, you know, going down the path of educating yourself about hiring, about core values, creating clarity, really getting clear on your vision and your purpose. and truly hiring around that and people who are aligned with that vision, you know, it took me a long time and a lot of mistakes to figure that out. But that was probably the most challenging in my career. Absolutely.
Well, good on you. And that's interesting, Tyler, because honestly, when I think of you, you're such a dialed in guy. You always lead from the heart. You're always talking about vision, values. And I know the team that you've built is incredible. There's no way you have three locations going on four. So it's really interesting that you too have kind of felt those growing pains and those leadership pains. And that just kind of, I think the takeaway for listeners out there is, you know, sometimes the biggest mistakes can actually benefit you if you course correct and really, you know, take action to better the situation. So that in mind, and something I want to kind of drive a point I want to drive home, because there's a lot of listeners out there maybe looking into getting in the fitness industry, or maybe they are already. And I know there's like this sexy appeal of owning multiple locations, and certainly it can be good. We're both multi-location owners. But what would you say to like the new owner coming through the pipeline, maybe just opened a gym, maybe, you know, within the first 6 months, about the idea of opening, you know, two locations, three locations beyond? Give us some insight from that perspective, because that's a question that we get always asked. So I'd love to hear your insight there.
Great question. If I were to go back and do it again, I would step away from my business with one location. So I would stress test it. And I would step away for probably 6 months. Now, that doesn't mean like I'm not, you know, involved in the meetings, but the true day to day to know, is it actually running smoothly? Are all the processes dialed in? Is it a well-oiled machine, right? So that, you know, you're going to split your attention. And we know where attention goes, energy flows. And so the moment that you can't be in two places at once, and the moment that you shift to opening another location, it's all consuming. It's all consuming. And that's not even just once the location opens. It could be for 6, 8, 12 months in advance. You have to find a location. That could be a 6-month process. Right? You need to get permits. You need to do the build out. You need to market for it. By the time you get open, it could be a 12-month journey maybe, right? Yeah, now you can do it faster, but it takes time. And so I would stress test it. And so knowing that before I actually started the you know, next step of opening another location, that the team was so dialed in that you could truly step away and have them run it, so that you could give your full attention to opening that other location, because it only takes, you know, one hiccup, and hiccups are going to happen, but it only takes one to kind of, you know, put a stick in your spokes and like stop everything dead and just put you into chaos. That would be my biggest thing. And the other thing I would say is be patient, right? You know, we get into the fitness industry because, you know, we have a passion for it. We want to change lives. You know, we want to make a difference. Usually it's typically through our own passion for fitness or how fitness has affected us personally. And we want to give that to other people. And then all of a sudden we start to think of, you know, this could be a great, you know, career and source of income. And, you know, you have two locations, but 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 here. You know, it's 1 + 1 equals, you know, 4 or 5 in terms of the headaches,
complexity.
And the complexity. And the truth is that you want to run a very profitable business. And so at the end of the day, be extremely, extremely profitable and truly be sure that you're maximizing every profitability, stream within one location before trying to duplicate to other locations. So you should be able to take one and just stamp it out to 2 and 3 and beyond, as opposed to trying to learn or grow or implement new processes or systems while also trying to expand, which is, you know, part of the mistake that I made. So that's the advice I would give. Be patient and stress test it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, very sound advice, especially coming from a guy like you with massive success in many locations and a lot of time in the industry. And I think it is a common mistake. And certainly there, you know, to recap in your words, there is, you know, a lot of value in really making your mark and growing, but you just want to do it the right way and make sure you are profitable so you can take care of your team, take care of your clients, invest in your program before taking that next step. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely. And when we talk about profitability, you have to understand that, you know, your second location, it needs to be funded by your first. So this is the way that I've, you know, looked at it as we've gone from three locations and beyond. And our fourth is that, you know, you still, you know, if you're going from one to two, your first location better be so profitable that it can carry 100% of your second location. And you're not going to be worried about making payroll or having food on the table or a house over your head. You're still taking home pay. Like, there's no reason to try to rush it for the sake of having it, right? And when you do it, you will grow faster, truthfully, in the end than trying to rush it. And so I just finished a book, Embrace the Suck by Brent Gleason.
Oh, yeah.
And in his book, he said, slow is smooth and smooth is fast.
Slow is smooth, smooth is fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. I think he's a Navy SEAL, is he not?
He is, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Well, good insight there, Tyler. Kind of shifting gears, obviously in the same metric, but you know, your zone of genius, which I'll ask you in a later question, from my perspective, working with you for a good amount of time here, I mean, you're super solid nutrition. You're the voice of reason, as I like to say, in our CAP team, which really imparts a lot of, I guess, knowledge and wisdom for the group to making sure that we are going smooth, and smooth is fast, not just fast. But I would say, I think your real zone of genius is your marketing prowess. And I feel like you have this wiring for it. So can you talk about, you know, your experience, I guess your learning curve within, you know, the framework of marketing, as opposed to, I guess, running traffic or specifically, you know, email marketing, and really what's the value and the importance of a fitness professional who maybe, you know, is looking to get in the business, open their gym, but has no experience in marketing, kind of where do they start? So can you kind of unpack your journey and really the value that you see in marketing?
Yeah. I mean, man, marketing is a massive topic, but you know, for anybody new coming into the industry or anybody who is looking to open their own business, the biggest thing that I see from you know, owners is, the moment that you're a gym owner, the number one thing is going to happen is you are going to be marketed to like no tomorrow. And so everybody and their brother, you're going to see 1,000 ads for like, I'll get you 100 clients, you know, in the next 24 hours, banging on your door, you'll be set for life. And, you know, which is fine and all, but the what you need to understand is those marketers, their job is to just bring on clients like you. So it's the same thing on the back end. And you know, it doesn't matter, probably any business that you're in, the owner of the business needs to know how to create sales. That's like, you need to know how to create sales, and you need to know how to generate leads in order for your team to create sales. And so, you know, that's truly one of the benefits of FitBody is you get those resources of having the leads done for you, or how to generate leads, or how to generate traffic or interested prospects or people who want to try out your program. And so, you know, that is a phenomenal resource that FitBody has, but you need to understand it. And that's the biggest thing, because it's not one thing. We're always marketing. We're always selling. We're selling ourselves all the time. So if, you know, somebody learns about your business and comes across your website, your website has to sell them to contact you. And that's great. And there's people out there who can get, you know, that person to contact you. And same thing, FitBody has resources that they can get interested people to contact you. But when they then contact you, now what? Right? You need to understand, how do you sell them to get into the program? Mm-hmm. Right? What happens if they're interested, but they never come in? And now we have their email. How do we email to them, right? And so, you know, one of the big things is always adding value when it specifically comes to email marketing is value, 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 value. Give, 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 give. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because our tagline for our personal training business was educating for results. And so you should always be educating, whether they're just coming in on a trial or whether they are on your email list or whether you're sitting down to do sales. You should always be educating that person, because when they feel as though you know their problem and that you know the challenges that they're experiencing and that the issues that they're having and can walk them through the steps that they need to take to achieve their goals, they're going to sign up because they believe that you are the solution, right? You're giving them hope that now this is going to be kind of the last program that they have to do. So when you're coming in new, dive into the marketing. You don't need to know per se how to, you know, run every Facebook ad and Instagram ad or TikTok or whatever the new thing of the week is. It will change. Mm-hmm. You know, at some point that will be gone, just like Google was 10 years ago, and something new will pop up. But you do have to fundamentally understand marketing and how people are coming in and how to sell them, right? So the best skill to learn would be how to influence other people, right? How to persuade them for the better. It's for the benefit of them. But we need to learn how to frame things in a way that they understand to make them take action. So I'm not sure if that's a direct answer to your question, but you know, in regards to marketing and sales, you need to know very specifically how to get someone to take action on your product. And so whether that's like learning how to build funnels, right? You don't need to know how to do that, but you do need to know how to get somebody to take action, whether they call you, whether they email you, whether they DM you, whether they, you know, it shows up in your email inbox. It's probably one of the most important skills that you absolutely have to know in order to be successful.
Persuasion and influence, you know, just to kind of put a bow on that. So just to kind of recap, and obviously you're a very strong marketer, both from your content and you talked about adding value and educating. And one of the things that you talk about in our CAP meeting all the time is, you know, guys, we cannot always remember, we have to remember always not to, you know, push out content to buy my stuff. You certainly, that needs to happen, but we really need to educate, provide value first before you're asking for the sale. And I think that's something that you do a great job of. And then just to kind of put a bow on, you know, some of the things you're talking about in terms of the different platforms that come and go. But what you're saying is, and correct me if I'm wrong, you don't need to know how to execute every tactic, whether it be run a Facebook ad or run an Instagram ad, et cetera. But you do have to understand the overall strategy of it. And then you really have to be, you know, a student of sales, influence, and persuasion in order for you to be successful, you know, in the gym business. Would that be fair to say?
100%. And I think you nailed it. You don't need to be an expert in every single tactic. You don't need to be the person who, you know, sets up those funnels. But, you know, in sales, you're always selling the next step. You're always selling the click, right? So you're always selling the, hey, I'm curious. Give me some information, you know, a PDF about how I can lose fat and keep it off. Right. And then from that is what you're selling. So great. That's one thing. But what's the next step? What does that force them to do? What action does that get them to take? You have to sell the next step, which is maybe to contact you. Right. And maybe it's now a phone consultation or it's a free workout or a free week or a 28-day program. Right. That's the next step. And you know, for Fitbody, that next step for us is then once they're in, selling them on what's the value of a strategy session. And how is that going to actually add value to them? What are they going to learn during that time, right? And so you're just always selling the next step in the process all the way down the line. So you do have to understand the strategy and the sales behind each of the steps in order to be able to execute it properly.
All right, Tyler. So kind of shifting gears here now that we've talked a little bit about, you know, your success as a gym owner and scaling multiple locations, which is super incredible, incredibly valuable to our audience. Now I want to shift gears. And because of your, you know, success as a FitBody owner and one of the most successful owners in our brand, you've been afforded the opportunity to be a franchise business coach. In our language at FitBody, we call them CAP coaches, or coaching and profitability is the kind of full name. So can you walk us through what that journey's been over the last couple years of, you know, coaching owners both in the US and Canada, you know, the highlights and probably the biggest, I guess, ahas that you've had as a business coach, and then some of the struggles that, you know, you've experienced as a coach, or maybe that you've, you know, seen in other gym owners. So can you elaborate a little bit on what that experience has been like?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been an amazing experience because, A, you know, you get to connect with a lot of awesome people who are really making a big difference in their communities, right? And I mean, you know, we touched on this earlier, but everybody that gets into this business just has a passion for fitness and a passion for giving that to others, you know, and helping them on their journey. So it's very, very awesome to connect with people who are like-minded, who want to have, you know, that impact in their communities and really make a difference. And, you know, for myself, it's great to be able to work with people who, A, really do want to make a big difference, but B, it's, I feel as though I can share, the plethora of mistakes that I have made over the past 15 years and just try to help people avoid, you know, making some of those mistakes. And, you know, experience truly is the best teacher. And, you know, you can always learn from people who have done things really, really well, but a better question to ask would be, what mistakes did you make? And so, you know, it's been great to be able to, you know, take someone who is starting out, who is new to the fitness industry, and just, you know, kind of help walk them around some of the landmines that, you know, if you're doing it on your own, you may not otherwise know that they're there. So that I love that part. It's extremely rewarding. And I would say the biggest challenge is, you know, some people don't want to be helped, right? And so, you know, sometimes we you know, get in our own way. And I was that person, right? I mentioned earlier, like, that was my probably biggest challenge. I wasn't taking action on the things that, you know, would have made me more successful even faster. And so I would say that is, you know, sometimes the biggest challenge is getting people to take action on things that ultimately will make them successful because they can't get out of their own way. And I would say, you know, whether, and I think that rings true for every, you know, everybody in any area and every business of life. That's not just, you know, fitness business owners. That's actually our clients as well who are trying to lose weight. It's the exact same.
Totally. On that note, it's interesting, Tyler, you know, the challenges that we, you know, experiences and experience that kind of translate to both, you know, gym owners and also clients. What would you say, because we do have a lot of existing gym owners, you know, that are audiences or that are tuning into this show, to give some perspective, maybe a gym owner is tuning in and they have a business coach, or maybe they want a business coach. What would you say in your estimation are the staples, the success signs of your most successful owners that you're coaching, that they do on a consistent basis, whether it may be taking a weekly call with you, jumping on trainings? How would you really describe and really articulate, you know, the action steps that your most successful owners take under your guidance?
Absolutely. My most successful owners get on a call on a regular schedule. So, and that's different for everybody. We're different. So for some people, that's every week. For others, that's every 2 weeks. For others, it's 3 weeks. For others, it's once a month. But it's regular. It's not, this month I will, you know, I'll take a week off or two. It's every month or every week we're on a call together. And we just talk through it, right? And like, what are we doing? What's working well? What do we need to tweak? What's the next step? What's the action that we need to take today to make us successful tomorrow? And so I would say for those people, you know, it's getting on a regular call with their coach. Now, let's say you don't have a coach, which you should. I mean, we all need coaches. Coaches and mentors are like the fast lane, man. Like, that is how you get to where you want to go as fast as possible. But let's say you don't have a coach. The owners that I work with that are most successful, okay, coaching aside, they know their numbers. They track their numbers. They know their numbers, right? So how many leads do you have? How many trials are starting? How many people did you convert? How many, members canceled this week or month, right? Like, and everyone's different in the way that they want to see their own data, but you know your numbers. What is it costing to bring a lead through the door? What's the lifetime value of that member? So they know their numbers, right? Because then they can make sound business decisions. And the second thing is they have a regularly scheduled weekly meeting with their team, right? And so we have L10s, right? And mm-hmm. you know, without those, we'd be all over the map, but we know this is what we need to get done between here and next week. And then, mm-hmm. you know, here's our big rocks that we're working on, our projects that are really going to move the needle in the business. So, you know, those I think are probably the two staples of successful owners that I see is one, they know their numbers, and two, they have regularly scheduled meetings. Because if you don't know your numbers, you don't know when to turn ads on or off or up your spend or focus on your retention or your member experience or your conversion or your sales. You just don't know. You're running blind, and you'll run 1,000 miles an hour in the wrong direction and just beat your head against the wall when it's not working.
Yeah. It's kind of like the analogy of a pilot getting in the cockpit, and if you don't know your numbers, how is that pilot going to actually steer the plane in the right direction to land where it needs to be? So I think very fitting insight, Tyler, and really good words of wisdom and things to look out for and lean into, especially for our audience. Now, before we kind of shift gears, I know we're kind of running short on time to kind of finalize the interview. I have a nice lightning round lined up. On that thought of, we talked about the most successful owners, you know, what they do in terms of under your guidance. What would you say is the biggest challenges or the biggest challenge or challenges that owners go through from your experience? And certainly we're still in the afterglow or the continuation of COVID. So certainly I would imagine that's a giant one. So you can probably, you know, shed some light on that. But aside from COVID, you know, what would be the biggest challenge that you see, you know, on your weekly or bi-weekly coaching calls from your owners?
Yeah, I would say that people don't have a plan. And so that comes from the weekly meetings, but just not a plan that they're going to execute on to get them to where they need to go. So it's funny. We did team reviews with my team actually yesterday with all of our facility leaders. And so, you know, we were talking about, you know, outcomes and what the outcome to move the needle in the business. And, you know, everything's nice. Your marketing's going along. It's a, you know, well-oiled machine. That's awesome when it's working, but it's not going to work all the time, or it's going to work less sometimes and more other times. And, you know, one of the things that was brought up and we talked about was there is always an action that you can take right now, literally right now. We could hang up this call and take this one simple action that would move the needle in our business. And for most of us, we probably know what it is, whether we want to do it or not. Like, chances are it's not the most fun thing to do, which is why we don't want to do it in the first place. But there's always an action that you could take now, today, that would move the needle in the right direction of your business. And so the one thing, I guess two, that I would say for owners experiencing challenges is, number one, sit down and figure out what that action step is, and no matter how much it sucks, take massive action on it, because you'll move the needle probably more than you ever move the needle in your life. And two is have a plan and execute the plan, right? Say no more than you say yes. So when things come up, don't say yes to that thing and then it bumps your plan down on the priority list, right? Like, keep that the number one priority and force anything else that comes into your day to like really overtake that priority. But chances are it's like, no, this is the plan. I've already thought about it. This has to be the number one priority. And that I would say is the thing that will help people to grow their business literally today.
Well, extremely prudent advice. And one thing that you just really stuck out to me is say no more than you say yes. And I think, you know, that's something that you live by. And, you know, that's why our CAP team knows and refers to you as the voice of reason, because, you know, you have a good practice of that and really making the main thing the main thing, and keeping our priorities straight, keeping us on track and in line. So that's something that not only you preach, but you certainly practice as well. Well, shifting gears, Tyler, that was a lot of insight, as I alluded to the lightning round, as I have you for a few more minutes. Just, you know, want to kind of shotgun some insights to really kind of allow our audience to get to know you a little bit better. So prior to achieving the success that you've had today from being a standout franchise business coach, multi-location owner, before you kind of took that leap of faith and really started your journey, what would you say from your perspective was the one thing that was holding you back?
Self-doubt, by far. Right? Just, you don't know until you do it. And so self-doubt, mm-hmm. absolutely. Just not sure I could do it, or fear of failure. So same thing, self-doubt.
Awesome. What would you say, obviously you're in the business of giving advice, both nutritional fitness advice to your clients and also business coaching advice for the owners underneath your guidance. What would you say from your perspective is the best advice that you've ever received?
The level of success will rarely exceed your level of personal development.
Oh, which has been a common theme of our conversation today. It's about business growth and entrepreneurship. All has to come down to personal development.
Yep.
Share one personal habit that has contributed massively to the success that you've achieved today.
Meditation and visualization. So I find that it helps get extremely clear on where you want to go, because you can see it. And then just in times of true, you know, quiet, right, undistracted thought, a lot of answers come.
Good stuff. You're going to appreciate this question, and we're both in the same mindset of leaders are readers. So my question to you, being you know, close to you and knowing that you're always reading and have a wealth of knowledge here, what would you be your biggest book recommendation to our Fitness Franchise Nation, and why would that recommendation be there?
I would say Copywriting Secrets by Jim Edwards. Phenomenal book. You know, you can always have more lead generation, you know, more traffic, more people coming through your door. And so I would say Copywriting Secrets is just like probably one of the best marketing or sales books that I've personally read.
So it's one of the zone of geniuses I think you have, but in your own words, kind of, you know, continue out with the questions and the lightning round, what would you say, Tyler, is your zone of genius?
My zone of genius, I would say is probably marketing and sales.
Copy that. All right. So, a parting piece of advice before we wrap today that, you know, our viewers would love to hear from you. What would be one piece of wisdom or parting piece of guidance that you can impart on our audience today that would really help move the needle in their business or their life?
Great question. I would say, listen to yourself. Okay. So, what I mean by that is a lot of times we ask questions that we're confused about, but we're not really confused. We just don't want to do what the answer is. So ask the question would be, if you were your own coach, what advice would you give yourself? And that will probably clarify the answer of what you're supposed to do. And then just take massive action on that thing, no matter how hard it is or inefficient or how much you don't want to do it or think it sucks or whatever it is. But take massive action on the thing that you already know you should do, but using the excuse of I don't know or I'm confused about what I should do and kind of hiding behind that.
Amen to that, Tyler. Very good sage advice. This has been a ton of fun. We've benefited, our audience has benefited, I've benefited, and I just want to take a second to acknowledge you. I've known and grown with you over the last decade, and it's been an honor and a privilege. I want to acknowledge you not only for your business success, for being this voice of reason to be able to provide our coaching team and our brand and our franchise a different look and a different perspective, whether it be nutrition, programming, sales, systems, marketing, you name it. But I also look up and admire to the fact that you're a family man. You are true blue, such a good guy. You know, take care of your wife, Mandy, and your daughter, Lakely. And I have a lot of love and respect and appreciation for that. So I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for being who you are. And it's been an honor and privilege. So thank you, Tyler.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be here. I'm grateful to just always sit down and just, shoot shop with you. So thank you.
Copy that. Thanks, Tyler.